to. So we've got a treat today. There's a group that we've been meeting in a number of different groups to doing different themes, and one of the themes was prayer. And the group that has been looking at that, basically, you're going to have all of them going to share with you. I think they're taking one letter of the alphabet each, but I don't know how they're doing that between seven of them, right? So pray. Pray? Prayer. Okay, good. So, actually, can we give them a big welcome? Yeah? So, yeah. Woo! You don't know who they are yet. You'll see them, aren't you? But you're going to start off. Who's going to start off? Oh, right. Okay. They're well organised.
Thanks, Keith. We will do that. Keith's taken a bit of what I was going to say, so I'm not going to have very much to say. As Keith said, and Nathan said at the beginning, the week coming up is a week of prayer, and so we want to be thinking about praying. And we as a group spent some time, 8 sessions, looking at a really helpful course, looking at prayer. And so today we just want to share some of those things with you. It was a really good course. If it runs again, really recommend you go along to it. I got so much out of it. Definitely recommend considering that. But in place of that, we've got the second best thing, which is the group coming to share what we got from it. And the way we'll do that is by a handy little acronym, which is PRAY, as Keith alluded to. That is, P-R-A-Y, and that's pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. And we'll go through each of those, starting with pause and then going through to yield, to saying yes to God. So these kind of offer a little kind of guideline, I guess, of how to pray, just going through each of these, you know, one at a time, one after the other. So without further ado, I'll invite everyone else to come up, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. I'm just going to read. It's better to just read. One of the biggest things I came away with after having done the prayer course is that prayer is about intimacy and presence. Prayer is relational and not transitional. It's about developing a relationship with God that isn't just based on us asking him for things. The course was led by Pete Gregg. We were watching the videos. So as he says, it's not just about you presenting a shopping cart of requests and ramming them at heaven's gates. So much of my praying can just be asking God for things. And while he's more than willing and ready to answer those prayers, what he really desires is for me to have a deeper relationship with him. In Genesis 3, before the fall, we read that God walked in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve were aware of this and presumably walked with God, because once they had sinned, they hid from God. So what were they talking about? There was no sin, there were no problems, everything was right with the world. They wouldn't have needed to ask God for anything. So presumably they were just enjoying God and appreciating all that he'd made. I think God wants to restore us to that kind of relationship with him. And one way to focus on prayer bringing a relationship is to lift our eyes to how great God is before we can even start to bring our requests to him. Pete Gregg likened it to looking at life through a telescope or a microscope. It's easy to spend most of our lives staring through a microscope, to become inward focusing and only to see how we're thinking and feeling. But there's a very big world out there and a very big God. When we worship and focus on him, we swap the microscope for the telescope. Working through the word pray isn't steps on a ladder to achieve something. It's just a tool to help us. So the P stands for pause, to stop talking at God long enough to focus on the wonder of who he actually is. It says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. And in Psalm 37, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. The world is so hectic. If we don't pause, it's all microscope and no telescope. So how do we do this practically? He suggested first sitting, or if you're out walking, walking quietly, and making yourself aware of God's presence. Relaxing your body, just breathing deeply, focusing on that, particularly if you're a bit stressed or you're carrying any tension in your body. Then he suggested simply praying a short phrase and repeating it over and over again. It's not so much the words that you're saying, but it's displacing the distractions and helping you to focus on God. It could be, thank you, Jesus, or our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or praying in tongues. I particularly like the phrase which he said the Franciscans use, which is, my God and my all. And I found myself, I just pause to say, my God and my all, my God and my all. And that I found a good way of declaring my dependency on God before I've even asked him for anything. It's just like, my God and my all. Doing this helps us to become aware of the presence of God. I try and stick with it for as long as it takes and stay in the place of stillness. I found in the first week after discovering this way of praying, I would spend a lot of time in the P of pray. Or as I said to the prayer group this week, I have spent a lot of time peeing. Because that's all I got. I just stopped and I paused. It was wonderful. I'm the sort of person who's a doer and I'm always on the go. Even when my body's sat still, my mind can be anything but. So teaching me a better way, that of allowing my mind and my body to settle down, be still before God, has been very useful. Now over to Naomi, who will be sharing the R of prayer.
So before I start on the R, there's often a bit of overlap between the letters. So I'm just going to share a little bit about something that I took away from the idea of pausing. So something Anne said is that if you've got a particularly vivid imagination that's prone to wandering off, as mine is, picture yourself in a particular location with Jesus to sort of give your imaginative part of your brain something to visualise while you're praying. So she said for her it was a clearing in a jungle. And for me it's sitting next to the pond at my granddad's house with my feet in the water looking at all the fish. And so that's just something that's been really helpful, like practically, because that was something, one of the things I wrote in my journal when I first started was, how do you stay concentrated? How do you stay focused? And actually giving my imaginative part of my brain something to do while praying sort of really helped. So I don't know if that helps anyone else, but that was something that practically helped me. So when we pause and focus our mind on God, it leads very naturally and easily into adoration and rejoicing. So the R stands for rejoice. It's great to start praying by rejoicing in the awesomeness of God and declaring he is holy, sovereign, King of Kings, creator of the stars, and the list goes on. It puts things in perspective. Like Sarah said, when we come to God focused on our problems and bringing him our shopping list, it's like looking through a microscope, not a telescope. When building a relationship with God, it's important to remind ourselves and to give thanks for who he is. One of my favourite verses in Psalms is from Psalm 46. It says, "Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts." It brings to mind such powerful imagery, and you often see it in films. You'll see there's crowds cheering and chanting, and the king will just lift his hand so slightly, and everyone falls silent. And just imagine that times 100, and it's not even close to the glory and power of our king. He has absolute sovereignty over our world and over our lives. So when you start looking through the telescope and see the works of his hands and praising him for it, it completely recontextualizes our worries, our crises, and our shopping list. Of course, God wants us to bring our worries to him so he can cover us with his love. He will never dismiss our cries for help as being unimportant, and if you're feeling vulnerable and weak, he will give you strength and refuge. But in our daily praying life, we start with rejoicing that our God is greater than it all. We need to cultivate an attitude of giving, not getting, of being rather than doing, and of enjoying God's presence. Another practical benefit of giving God our complete adoration is that it not only puts our worries into perspective, but it also realigns our view of ourselves in comparison to God. It allows us to get down on our knees and truly humble ourselves. It's so easy to get caught up in our own importance, but out of the two of us, God is the more important one. His ways are perfect and his love is limitless. Something that Pete Gregg talked about in the video for this session was a painting of Mary with baby Jesus on her lap and two saints kneeling. When hanging in a gallery, critics thought it wasn't one of the artist's better pieces. The proportions were sort of all off and it just looked a bit odd in places. It was only when an art critic realised that it was painted as an altarpiece and he knelt down in front of it that the whole painting came into perfect perspective. Perspective in our own lives and situations can be found when we humble ourselves, say less of me, more of you, and kneel before him in joyful adoration. Sometimes it's a conscious effort to rejoice. Sometimes we just don't feel like we've got it in us. So we can put on some worship music or read some psalms and use those words to pray. Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name." And this almost reads like a command. It's like David is telling his soul to praise the Lord because he knows he'll feel better for it. And I know that I have experienced this since doing the course as well. There were times when I was walking to work with a Stonely album on, trying to hold back tears because I was really remembering the majesty of God. And that was clearly what my soul needed, to be refocused and put back into perspective and to rejoice and praise the one I was designed to worship. So that's a little bit about rejoicing. And now we'll move on to the next letter, which is A for ask.
Hello. We're the naughty ones. We're doing it together. So that's where the confusion with lettering happens. So ask. And I think it's, when we were looking at this, it was really important to know the difference, especially with that idea of we don't want to just bring a shopping list to God, right? But he does want us to ask. And it was really interesting to look through this particularly. And I think what was really helpful is it started kind of addressing questions that I think we all have but don't always say out loud. So he kind of talks about, you know, why do we need to ask? Why doesn't God just know? If he's all-knowing, why does he need us to ask? And he was talking about the actual power in kind of vocalizing it and actually having the faith and the trust to come to him to ask. Because stuff happens when we pray and when we believe in the power of prayer. And it's that belief and that coming to God with that that has that power. And in John 14:14, it says, if you ask anything in my name. And I think the other kind of important distinction he made was that actually it has to be something that's of God and within God's character to come to him to ask. And he kind of talks about the fact that when you come to him and you come kind of in the position of the kind of prayer that we're outlining, that it's has to kind of align with who Jesus is, and that's when that ask is possible, if that makes any sense. But also just that, and he kind of took us through the Lord's Prayer as well, and we were thinking about the line about our daily bread. He wants to give us our daily bread. He wants to bless us. He wants to bring those things to us. And I think that's really helpful to remind ourselves as well, is that it is a kind of daily bread. And he also tackled, which again we were really grateful for, is unanswered prayer as well. That kind of scary side of asking is the unanswered. And he kind of helpfully used the illustration of a traffic light system. That sometimes it's green and it's absolutely, and you see that answer really clearly. Sometimes it's yellow and it's wait and see and it will come. And sometimes it's just a red and it's just a no. And that can be really painful and really confusing and really hard. But he used this beautiful image of his child, I think it was his son, but his child that had chicken pox, right? And obviously the kids in a lot of pain and, you know, has chickenpox. And he as a dad can't explain to him, you will get better, you know, you will get better, or it's just chickenpox and actually it's going to give you immunity for when you're an adult. The child doesn't know that, but as a father, he can hold his son, right? He can hold him and he can comfort him. And God does the same thing with us sometimes, right? He's not necessarily going to be able to explain why, whatever your chicken pox is, but we can come to him and we can be held by him. And I guess the way I wanted to share is kind of share two stories, if I may. One, I think, which is what gave me my ability to believe so strongly in the power of asking kind of specific prayer. And the other is kind of the testimony of what happened whilst we were on the prayer course for me. So I think the reason, one of the reasons I feel quite comfortable asking is because I've seen kind of a miracle in my life. So when I was 11, my older brother was unfortunately in a car accident, and we were basically told he shattered the left side of his body, and we were told he wasn't going to make it and all this stuff. But my dad is actually a vicar of an Anglican church, and that night at the hospital, bearing in mind I was 11, these like loads of the congregation turned up outside Reading Hospital and stood outside the hospital and just like prayed and prayed and prayed. And obviously I was an 11-year-old and very confused as to why they were here. And I think I said to my mum, like, do we need to feed them and whatever. But anyway, they prayed and prayed and prayed. And it was a really confusing time for me, because for me, I was like, why did God let my brother be hit by a car? Like, it was really confusing. But actually that night when they prayed, the doctors were so confused, because they basically said to us, if he does come out of this, he will absolutely have brain damage, because he shattered part of his skull as well. My brother is now 37 with a baby and a wife, no brain damage, like living a completely healthy, happy life. And the crazy thing is, it's actually 15 years to the day today. So I really wanted to share that with you, that like really well and truly from that moment in my life, I've been like, whoa, if God can like bring my brother out of a coma and like bless us this way. And also if those congregation can be so full of faith and gather around us as a family so strongly, like, why would you not believe? Do you know, like, it's just kind of, yeah. And then so from that point on, I have always been comfortable with asking, I guess, and trusting that God would do it. And I know that that's a really privileged position to be in. But so whilst we were on the course, I started to tell this story a few weeks ago, but literally the first week, I think it was, I had an interview for Oxford University. And Anne was incredible, and kind of she called me and prayed with me beforehand, and just these guys were praying with me as well. And lots of crazy things happened with that, where I was asked to speak on a particular topic that I didn't know about, and it just happened that the next day my colleague talked about that exact topic, so I was able to talk about it. The night before the interview, my car was blocked in by two motorbikes that had Oxford written on both of them. I was working on a vintage fashion show, and the lady that was running it said to me, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm really tired this week. I'm on the board of advisors for Oxford University for the humanities division. I was like, aye, great. Do you want to talk to me more about that? But anyway. And then I didn't hear anything for 2 weeks. And again, these guys and Anne really rallied around me and prayed. And also, to be really clear, we were praying for God's will, right? I wasn't praying, give me this exact job, but I was praying, God, if it's your will, great. So then I did get a second interview. And in that interview, I met the guy that's going to be my... Oh, spoiler, got the job, but was going to be my line manager. And he said to me, look, what are you afraid of? And again, the night before, I'd been like, God, I'm just a bit scared of the commute. So I said to him, look, I'm really interested in it, but I'm really afraid of the commute. And he said to me, oh, remind me where you live. I said, oh, I'm in Surrey. He said, oh, I'm in Surrey. Whereabouts are you? I said, oh, I'm near Woking. Where are you? He said, I'm in Woking. The guy that will be my boss at Oxford University lives 10 roads down from me. And so he was like, listen, I do the commute. You won't do it more than 2 days out of the week. Blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it was such a cool answer to prayer. And so I did get the job, which is very exciting. And I'll be starting on the 7th of May. But to be able to go through that process with these people beside me, praying with me, and of course, Anne, and have that kind of faith behind it, you know, each time I was saying to God, and I think it's also that thing of asking incrementally, is that a word? Yeah, a bit by bit. So it's just like, oh God, if I could just be really calm in this interview, or if I could just not sound like an idiot, I don't like, but incrementally rather than, kind of the bigger stuff, and also to know and have that faith of knowing that my kind of brothers and sisters beside me were praying with me, just put me in a different space, right? And I really do believe, and I have seen it throughout my whole life, God loves the ask, he loves the specific prayer, and he loves the faith that it takes to be able to ask for that, to be able to open our hearts and share our deepest desires and really come before. But I really believe in that really specific prayer. And actually, we may think, oh, he knows anyway, he's got it anyway. No, come to him. He invites us to come to him with everything that we've said before as well, and ask, because he wants to bless you. He wants to give you your daily bread. And it's just stepping out in faith to see that. And I have seen that throughout my life. So that was kind of what I took away. But it was such that helpful reminder, particularly on the unanswered prayer side of, you know, you can, even if he doesn't heal your chicken pox, he will be holding you close. So yeah, that's what I took away.
So yeah, we've split ask into two sections, and I'm going to focus on kind of the second part of it. And so within the course, it was split into two sessions, one on petition, which is asking for ourselves, and one on intercession. And so I'm going to touch on intercession. So the definition of intercession is to intervene or mediate on behalf of two parties. So essentially, intercessors are those who stand before God in the gap. One of my biggest takeaway points from this session, the course, was the quote, "The hinge of history is in the bended knee." That is such a powerful statement, and one that really made me reflect on the power of our prayers and the power they hold and the difference that they can make. Our prayers can often feel small and like they aren't making a difference, but the Bible teaches us that they are in fact very powerful. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus doesn't just instruct us to pray personally for daily bread, but also for real and lasting change, ultimately for his kingdom to come. We can see a powerful and beautiful example of intercession in the life of Moses. In Exodus 17, when the Amalekites attacked the people of Israel, he ordered Joshua to lead the fight while he climbed a hill overlooking the battlefield and raised his hands in prayer for victory. Let's quickly turn to that passage now in Exodus 17, 8-13. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. And as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. So we can see this example in the Bible of intercession. Let's see how we can practically do this. So Pete in the course broke this down into four steps. First one was to get informed. There might be a particular place, person, or situation that God has put on your heart. So get informed about this, whether that's calling a friend to ask them how you can pray for them, or listening carefully as they tell you about a certain situation, or researching a bit more about a nation or news story that has been on your heart lately. Get informed and find out some of the details. Secondly, is to get inspired. Get inspired by the possibilities of what might happen if God's purpose for a person, place, or situation started to come true. See what the Bible says. Seek out what God is saying and align with God's desires in prayer. How beautiful to be saying amen to the prayers and promises that God has already said about this person, place, or situation. The next one is to get indignant. And this is to have a righteous anger about an unjust situation. We're asking God to break our hearts for what breaks his, to feel passionately about a wrong situation the same way that he does, and to really engage our hearts. It's moving beyond what we might say is a nice or a pretty prayer, and it is to pray authoritatively, passionately, and consistently about a situation of injustice. And finally, we need to get in sync. Yes, there is power in our private and individual prayers, but there is so much more when we come together. In Matthew 18, verses 19 to 20, we read, "If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." So praying together and coming together for prayer meetings can hold such power. If we then look back to Moses praying on the hilltop, we can see the importance of him interceding along with others. In verse 11 to 13, it reads, "As long as Moses held up his hand, held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Soon Moses' arms became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset." We can see what power it was that they interceded together, Aaron, Hur, and Moses. So there is so much power in praying together. In summary, we need to get informed, get inspired, get indignant, and get in sync. In the words of Richard Foster, if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. So intercession is a way of us loving others. If you take anything away from this section, let it be that intercession is a way of loving others. What a joy and a privilege it is to be able to pray on behalf of someone, to be able to step into the gap of our believing and our non-believing friends, family, co-workers, and even strangers.
Well, my part is the last one, last but not least. It's yielding prayer. The last acronym I pray is Y for yielding prayer. As a foreigner, when I read yield, I understand like, okay, like agriculture, you know, I don't know, produce vegetables. And then I realized, no, it's not like the harvest, like the pub. No, it's not. But yielding in prayer is surrender. Is submit to God's will. It's way more deeper than this. Like Sarah said, prayer is building a relationship with God. And in this relationship, we have to surrender ourselves to God, to God's will. Not always our prayers are answered the way we want to. So I believe that yield is really attached to ask. So, in a quick story, hopefully quick. when I had like already 3 years marriage with Nina's father, we thought with ourselves like, oh, we should start praying. We want a baby. We want a child. And then, of course, naturally, I got pregnant. After like 2 months, almost 3 months, I started having a bleeding. And then I said, I'm going to call my doctors, I'm going to pray, and that's it. It will be sorted. And then I took medicines, and it didn't stop. And then my doctor said, yes, you are suffering miscarriage, maybe. And then, okay, now I'm going to pray. All the family was praying, all the church was praying, the prayer group was praying, everybody was praying about it. And then I suffered the miscarriage. So, of course, all that answer wasn't answered the way we thought. I believe the most right way to say should be wasn't granted the way we want. Of course, I suffered for so long until one day I decided to let the Holy Spirit comfort me. When I let the Holy Spirit comforting me, God spoke to me. He said, I suffered the same loss. I felt so small because then I reminded, oh my gosh, yeah, of course, Jesus, isn't it? So I felt like, okay, I cannot compare, isn't it? And I let the Holy Spirit comfort me. He's not indifferent to our pain, is what I mean. The Holy Spirit is called comfort for a reason. Jesus is our healer too. He lived like us and he cried like us. So yielding in prayer is submit to God's will and to his purpose. Of course, to let everyone happy, he visited me again and gave me Nina. Yeah, she's a blessing. Weeping may last through the night, but the joy comes in the morning. So God is so good. So in Ilding, we have to, as well, was spoken on the, I'm escaping a little bit what he say. I'm not right, I haven't wrote down exactly like it says on the course. But it says as well, the faith comes from God. And after he gives to you the measure of faith, the faith he has for you, what do you do with this? Then in this comes the yielding prayer as well. Because after we receive from God the faith, the measure he has for us, we have to work to become faithful. Work on our faithfulness to God. And boom. No, it's not that easy. By doing that, you will yielding in prayer, surrender to his will. In Daniel 3:17-18, oh my gosh, this word is quite difficult to me, more than Worcestershire sauce. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yeah, good, replied to, oh gosh, Nebuchadnezzar, good. We don't need to defend ourselves before you if you are thrown into the blazing furnace. The God who won us from your power. No, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. I'm going to put emphasis in this part is faith. Yeah? I believe that God, will rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty. Sorry, I have to say, every time I read in English this, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty. I listen not to be funny, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. But this part speaks about faithfulness. Well, of course, everyone knows, I hope. Yeah, they were saved. The prayers and was answered. Jesus Christ were there with them. And that's an example of answered prayer. And as well, they yield in God by having faithfulness and stand up for God. Even through my faith, if he doesn't do it, I will keep faithful. Well, he makes everything work out according to his plan. So he has all the control of everything, and this is perfect. Sometimes we don't understand if one of our prayers is not answered the way we want, or the time we want, or even if it's answered like a no, Marianne said. He is perfect, and his ways are way higher than ours, and his thoughts are way bigger than ours as well. It's almost finished. No, I'm lying. Wait. why are you sleeping? This is Luke 22:46. When Jesus was praying in the Mount of Olives, he was suffering, asking, and praying that God pass from him that cup, the sacrifice. And, well, we don't know how hard was this, isn't it? But I'm going to put emphasis in this part of Luke 22:46, when Jesus said to the disciples, he asked to pray with him. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation. That's an important thing while we are yielding in prayer, that we have to be on the watch for temptation. Because, of course, if your prayers are not answered, you might become a little frustrated. and discouraged as well. So, but the problem happens when we want to take out of God's hands the control of our lives. Oh, I'll never do that. Well, when you're praying and God say no, or wait, or later, or you don't allow yourself to listen what God is saying regarding your prayer, you are kind of, we have like this little temptation of, what if I do different? What if I don't wait in God? What if, like Sarah and Abraham, take her and have a baby with her. So instead of waiting for the blessing, the promise that God gave to her. Of course, this caused lots of problems until today. You can tell what's going on in Israel. So to yielding God in prayer, we have to give to God the control remote of our lives. It's not always easy. But when you do that, we trust that He has the best for us. And the only way we can yield in prayer is truly giving up our control, resist to the temptations, like when we feel exhausted and praying for something, maybe we give up of praying that. Maybe we give up to praying for someone in your family that needs Jesus, or maybe give up over a disease, or give up a better job, or whatever it is. Don't give up. God is listening to you, and He's going to work according to His purpose for your life, for the best of you. Well, we have to believe why yielding in prayer, what says in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good who loves Him and are called according His purpose. So, remember, it's according His purpose, not ours, isn't it? And He says to us, our suffering are light and momentary comparing to the glory that awaits on the other side. So let's put our hope in His words. The glory that awaits on the other side cannot compare what you're suffering here. So the greatest things we can do is give Him the most glory in everything we do. So let's set up our life channel and give Him all the glory and give to Him the remote control of our lives. God is good. Thank you. If the church permit, we'll be quick. I'm finished. I have 50 minutes, isn't it? 55 of English. So I would like to pray. Well, we made a prayer course. So I would like to pray. I struggle with one of the things. I was praying in the prayer group course to learn to pray in English. So I'm going to pray. They sing this Brazilian gospel song. It's about prayer. So it will be quick, but I hope you guys are following me praying as well. So, Lord Jesus, through wordless groans that no one can ever comprehend, You carry to the Father my requests. Every time I kneel before You, when I'm going through storms, I know You, Jesus, I always need to hear the cry of my heart. Jesus, I confess You, I cannot live without You here, without You feeling Your presence within me. I'm eternally dependent. I'm so vulnerable and helpless. So here I am again. Show me Your power, Lord. And even if I follow in You, Jesus, I may have to cry. Still I serve You, for You'll be there by my side. Suffering with You is better than making mistakes. Forgive me, Lord, for there are times my words are simply not enough. Tears then come floating down when things are so tough. But then You remind me You are always by my side. Thank You, Lord.
Thank you.